Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Praise God. This is Reset Conference, and we believe God will do something new in the lives of His children. You know, it's important for us as the people of God to operate from the realms of God. We are on earth, but we are not of earth. The Bible said we are not of this world. And so we operate by different principles. We operate by different laws. And so we must see things from a higher dimension if we will bring the government of God to the face of the earth. And so a conference like this is designed to recalibrate your perspective so that you see from a higher plane and from a higher realm. It is possible for you to start functioning like a creature of time, but you are not a creature of time. You are a creature of eternity. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, he said, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet. Your ordination came before time itself began. When you come to this realm, it is your duty to connect to Zion and to operate from the realms of Zion. This is why Paul teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 12, he said, we have not received the spirit that is of this world. He said, but we have received the spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. He said, these things are the things which speak, not with words that human wisdom teaches, but with words that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. Listen, there are things you don't know by philosophy. There are things you don't know through chemistry and physics. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He said, but for you, he said, you have the mind of Christ, so you can judge all things. The problem with many Christians in our generation is that we want to see things as the world sees them. We want to operate as the world operates. So we have declined from our throne in the realm of Zion, and we are beginning to walk like men. And the Bible said, I have seen an abomination on the face of the earth. It said, princes are trekking while beggars are riding on horses. Listen, brothers and sisters, we are princes from the realm of God. We are beings of eternity sent here to bring the government of God to this realm. But for that to happen, there is a necessity for a reset. To see things as God sees them. To act as God acts. To operate as God operates. And as we begin to do it, what you will notice is that you will download heaven to earth. You were designed to bring heaven here and function as though you are walking in heaven. This morning, my job is to show you one of the operational modalities of the kingdom that the world does not know, that the world cannot appreciate, that looks foolish to the world, but therein is the power that moves us forward. Therein is the mystery that gives us an advantage. And so in the next 40 minutes, I'll be talking to us about the power of sacrifice. The world cannot understand it. The philosophy of the world system is to get all you can and can all you get. Get everything for yourself, keep it for yourself, not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, the Bible said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Him that watereth shall by himself be watered unto. So it is when we give that we are increased, not when we receive. And so the world is thinking in one direction, but we are thinking in another direction. This is why they can never understand us. And if you are a kingdom citizen, you must stop living and thinking like the world and start living and thinking like an agent of the kingdom. This is where the difference between Christians, the gradient, the disparity, this is where it is established. All of us are children of God, but our experiences are not the same because of our thinking and because of our operation. Psalm 50, verse 5. I want to read some scriptures now. If I'm talking extemporaneously, I may not keep up with time. Can we project the scriptures? It says, gather my saints together to me. Those who have what? Made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Listen, we are all saints. We are all the children of God. But there is a specific calling for those who have chosen the path of sacrifice. This is not a call for everybody. This is why all of us can be in the kingdom. But some are experiencing heaven on earth. And you say, why? Is God biased? No, there are principles that regulate operations in the kingdom. It says, gather my saints, not every one of them. Those that have made a covenant to walk with me by sacrifice. And so this morning, we want to examine the power of sacrifice. And God help us to understand it. If you understand it and engage it, you will see how your life will shift from one level of glory to another. Listen, there are many beautiful scriptures. Most times we quote them, but we don't experience them. It says the path of the just man is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. The question is, how does he make that path shine? That's what many don't know. Because it's not every just man that is shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It is the just man that understands how the kingdom works. This is why many read scripture and they are wondering, are these things true? I was ministering on Instagram with Pastor Dunsin yesterday, and I gave a word of knowledge that there's a sister wearing a dark shirt, wearing an eyeglass, and she had tumor in her left breast, and the tumor had dematerialized. And the sister checked and discovered the tumor had dematerialized, and she came back to write her testimony. She said, this thing is real. Wait a minute, you are a Christian, you don't know it is real? Are you just discovering it? She said, can you imagine? When the pastor said, there's a fair young lady with a dark shirt, I said, okay. He said, she's wearing glasses. Really? I said, okay. She said, she had tumor in the left breast. I said, come, what is this saying? Let me check. And when she checked, she was exclaiming, we are not supposed to be surprised by miracles. Miracles is what happens naturally in our realm. When a Christian is surprised, when a Christian begins to probe miracles, then you know something is wrong with his ecosystem. There are things that are natural to us. But for things like that to become natural to us, there is a way we must live. He said, gather my saints unto me who have made a covenant to walk with me, not by excitement, but by sacrifice. Sacrifice is not something everybody wants to do. Even Wikipedia defines it in a very difficult way. Wikipedia defines sacrifice as surrendering your precious commodity as an offering to a deity. So something that is precious to you, giving it up as an act of worship to a deity. And there was no record that is a transaction that something must happen. It is at the discretion of the deity to determine what it gives back to you. That's why it's a sacrifice. It's not give me, I give you. It's give me because you honor me. Now that you have honored me, I will decide what will happen. Now, the reason we do it is because we have judged God to be faithful. And he will never deny himself. See, many don't like it. When you say, take money, everybody's excited. Take food for Christmas, everybody's excited. But the day you say, come, give, there's something God wants. Everybody say, the economy no easy. You don't become big by receiving. You become big by giving. If something doesn't leave you, you will never receive the capacity to receive it. This is why there are many who are smaller and smaller in God. Because they only celebrate when they receive. Those who are giants in the kingdom, they celebrate when they give. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with receiving. But the Bible said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So in the kingdom of God, sacrifice is a language. Every spirit knows it. If you want to speak to a spirit, you don't talk to a spirit only by talking. One of the most potent ways of communicating with a spirit is by sacrifice. If you place a sacrifice on the altar, God hears you louder than when you are shouting in prayer. Because your sacrifice is a voice of your heart. It's not just the voice of your mouth. This is why many don't know it. It's a language in the realm of the spirit. And God himself was the one who initiated it. In Genesis chapter 3, from verse 21, when Adam sinned, the Bible said God killed an animal and clothed Adam with the animal. Because Adam thought it was just about covering. It's not every covering that stands in the spirit realm. God cannot look upon you when you are covered with fig leaves. You are now a sinner. Something else has to come in. And so God needed blood to cover him. So God had to kill an innocent animal and put the animal around him. So when God looks at Adam, he's looking at Adam through the innocence of the animal. So that sacrifice became a language of atonement in the realm of God. That's how spirits talk. That's how spirits hear. Because in the realm of the spirit, sacrifice is a language. In Genesis chapter 4, from verse 3 to 4, the children of Adam now began to learn. This thing God initiated that made him not to consume our father when he erred. It has to become our culture. So the Bible said, in the course of time, he said Cain and Abel came to present offerings before God. Nobody told them. They were learning. They were growing. See, today, what we teach people to do and they refuse to do is what the patriarchs learned on their own through experience. Nobody told them, bring a sacrifice. In the course of time, they felt if we want to provoke things from the realm of God, one of the ways of making it happen is through sacrifice. So they came with their offerings. And when they gave it, God showed them that he was mindful of it. So he rejected the offering of Cain. Because it's not just everything you throw there. There is a law that regulates sacrifice. He rejected it. Cain was offended and he said, if you do well, won't you be accepted? That means sacrifice is one of the ways of doing well in the realm of God. But Abel, the Bible said, in Hebrews chapter 4, 11 verse 4, he said he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And he said, by the which he obtained a witness. And God called him righteous. And he said, because of that sacrifice, even when he was dead, his voice was speaking in the course of heaven. Sacrifice made Abel to become immortal. It's a language. Spirits hear it. When Abel was dead, his blood was speaking. because of his sacrifice. The sacrifice made him to have a stake in the realm of God. So that man couldn't die. This is why today some men have gone to be with the Lord. We are still singing their praise because of their sacrifices. Sacrifices immortalize people. No selfish man is remembered. From his burial, everybody begins to talk against him. But when you find a man who has sacrificed, even after 50 years, they say, if Abraham was here, if Martha was here, if Victor was here, you can't forget them. They are immortalized. The Bible said, even while Abel was dead, his voice was speaking. His voice kept talking. And God had respect for his voice. It was on the account of the litigation of Abel's voice that God came to judge Cain. Abel, Cain, where is thy brother? He said, am I thy brother's keeper? He said, do you know what you are talking about? He said, the voice of your brother is crying to me from the ground. You have touched an immortal. You can't kill that man. There's something about that man that makes him to become a prince in Zion. His voice is talking. He's now a member of the ecclesia of heaven. He's crying from the ground. And the guy was judged because a man had found a pathway in the spirit. Listen, brothers and sisters, sacrifice is powerful. And this morning, I want to show you five eternal benefits of sacrifice that make sacrifice very powerful. If there's one thing God will do to you in this service, is to kill every tendency of selfishness and self-centeredness. It won't take you nowhere. It will take you, listen, universally speaking, even those who don't know God, they are Libra, the ones that make impact. You hear that somebody is giving $1 billion for polio. Our presidents and our leaders in Africa, we are joining queue to collect. We are pulling the money and we remain poor. One man, one in America, gives money that 30 countries in Africa are collecting, and they are fighting, writing all kinds of documents. When a portion of that money comes, they still steal it. The money that one man gave to a government, people are stealing it. How can that nation be as big as that man? Because of selfishness and self-centeredness. And then selfishness becomes the root of corruption. Because the moment you think about yourself, you can compromise to get what you are looking for. So when a man becomes sacrificial, the tendency of uprooting corruption becomes natural. The power of sacrifice. Let me itemize a few things. Number one, sacrifice conveys the posture of your heart. And in the realm of God, the most important thing God looks at is the heart of a man. He said, men look on the outward. He said, but God looks at the heart. That means one of the ways you present yourself before God is to present your heart. Now, how do you present your heart? You cannot remove your heart from your chest and say, Lord, see my heart. We are talking about the inward man. So one of the ways God studies your heart is by the quality of sacrifices you make. There are technologies in the spirit. The hearts of men are read like books. But the book that is read in order to understand the heart of a man is the kind of sacrifice he offers. And so God knows all of us here by our hearts. If our heart becomes wrong, God rejects us. If our heart is right, God works with us. So our heart is the most important asset we have in the realm of God. But the way God accesses our heart is by the quality of our sacrifice. So in Matthew chapter 6 verse 21, the Bible said, where a man's treasure is, he said what? There his heart is also. And so if all your resources are going in the direction of self, God will already judge you to be selfish. God will already judge you to be self-centered. You can come to church and lie down and say, Lord, I love you. You know I do. And you are crying and tearing. That's biochemical process. Sir, when you finish, get a handkerchief. Clean your face. God is not working with your tears. You see many people in the night, 12 midnight, they wake up in the morning, they are naked. They stand before the moon and say, Abba, Father, I am here. God can honor your faith, oh, but listen, that's kindergarten Christianity. You see many people, they are rolling on the floor, they are crying, but their heart is far from God. Their selfishness is louder than their action. Because all of that thing they are doing is to receive. When there is a kingdom need, they will never be there. How do you think God can entrust nation to such men? Some of us, our heart is too small to accommodate nation. The people God can give nations to are those who are enlarged through sacrifice. Because when God gives them power over nations, He knows that families will benefit, governments will benefit, territories will benefit. The guy's not thinking me, I, and myself. He's thinking the agenda of God. And so when God sees that you are all about yourself, your heart becomes too narrow. So the way you open up your heart to the Lord so that God can empower you is when you embrace the demands of sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 22, from verse 1, God wanted to test Abraham to see, because God had promised him in Genesis 12, I will make you a father of all nations. But he wanted to see, can this guy's heart carry nations? Can this guy's heart accommodate generations? Let's test him and see the magnitude of capacity he has built. And the Bible said, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Hear what God said. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. God was reminding him, that's your only treasure. So I don't want you to do it absent-mindedly. He said, your only son, Isaac, he now added, whom you love. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Your son, your only son, not the one you don't love, the one that you love. And go and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall tell you. See Abraham's response. Abraham rose early. If I tell Sarah, it will not happen. I better leave Sarah out of this. I don't want tears. This matter is not for tears. Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood of the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. See what Abraham said in verse 5. That's what humbled me. He said, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkeys. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. That's what God was looking for. You want to be a father of all nations? You want to receive all the promises? You want to become the greatest of all men? How much heart do you have? The way hearts are tested, the way hearts are presented to God is through sacrifice. From verse 11, God appeared. When he saw that the man went through with the process, see what happened in verse 11. He said, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. The first thing there is that he came under an open heaven. Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. And hear what God said. Do not lay your hand on the lad. It's not about your sacrifice. It's about your heart. I'm trying to read your heart. I'm trying to study your heart. It had nothing to do with your son. But I want to know what I can commit to you. And the way to study your heart is through the channel of sacrifice. He said, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son and your only son from me. God asked you, give 1,000. You say, it's not easy. God, this thing. I taught, I labored. God asked you for your time. You say, God, every 30 minutes of my time is worth something new. How can I stay with God for 30 minutes? Oh God, is your soul yours? The air of your nostrils, is it yours? If it is withdrawn today, can you calibrate time? Don't you know that every time God makes a demand, he's trying to study your heart? God is reading a textbook. It's your heart, but he's using the gateway of sacrifice to access your heart. Now I know. That's the omniscient God. So there are many things God deliberately decide not to know until you prove it. Now I know that you fear me. That's how God checks our heart. When you see God give things to men, is the degree to which he has studied their hearts. If your heart has not been studied, your ordination will be held back. Your blessings may be held back. Some of the things you are praying for and praying about, God is afraid of giving you. Because he has not studied your heart. He doesn't know if he gives it to you, it will cost you your salvation. Lord, I want to be the next president. I want to be the next senator. I want to be the next billionaire. I want to be the next. God is asking, does your heart have the capacity to handle it? I don't want to make you senator. And then we start looking for you. And the only place we can find you is in the jungle of hell. Oh, Lord, make this real estate prosper. I want to control the real estate, the biggest in Abuja. It's not a challenge. But do you know what it takes to sit on 20 billion? When you are sitting on 20 billion and senators, entrepreneurs from America, UK, are calling you around the clock, can you shut your phone down for 1 hour in prayer? Because at that level, 1 hour can be equal up to $5 million. Are you able to? Can we find you on the prayer altar? Will you come to church and sit for 3 hours? Are you sure some business proposals will not be on Sunday morning? Because now you are negotiating with somebody from Australia and the time zones are different. The only time you can do that business is when you should have been in church. Are you sure Australia will not become your heaven? He has not checked your heart. So when you ask for certain things, God will also ask for some things. Not because he needs those things he's asking for, but because he wants to check your heart. Because God is more interested in your soul than he's interested in every other thing you have. And so sacrifice is power, because it's one of the major ways God studies men. The Bible said men can be weighed. When Daniel showed up before Bethesda, he said, "You have been weighed in the balances. You have been found wanting." The thing some of us we are praying for, when they weighed us, we were light. We couldn't handle it. And so God is saying, let's test you for 1 year. Sacrifice some more so that your heart can gain gravity. Because it will take a texture of heart to be able to command that power. It will take a texture of heart to be able to stand in that position and still be a servant of God. Some people became senators and they didn't come to church again till the next election. And the reason they came is because they want to canvass for support. Sacrifice. God uses it to study the hearts of men. That's why it's powerful. You can't deceive God. Lord, I love you. Lord, I'll do anything for you. Lord, make me and people, widows will no longer cry. Orphans will no longer cry. Lord, if you give me this position, I will make sure that education is improved. I will make sure light. God is saying, a little sacrifice you are asking for, you have not been able to do it. What is the assurance that you... Let's check your heart first now. How much can you do now? The power of sacrifice. God uses it to check the quality of our heart. He says, I the Lord, Jeremiah 17 verse 11, I try the heart and I test the reins to give unto every man as his ways should be. I, the Lord, I test the heart. Everything God gives to men, he checks their heart before he gives them. And one of the ways God traces the heart of a man is by the instrumentality of sacrifice. Number two, sacrifice is an instrument of atonement. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 14, he said, even a secret gift pacified anger. And so the second thing that makes sacrifice powerful is that it's an instrument of atonement. Now, when we speak of atonement here, we are not talking about expiation and propitiation necessarily. That's in the corridor of salvation. Now, see the problem with many Christians. When you start talking about things like sacrifice, they tell you, there's no sacrifice. Jesus has sacrificed everything. Be careful. The sacrifice of Jesus, amongst other things, is exclusively for salvation, which deals with forgiveness of sin, imputation of eternal life, and righteousness. There's nothing you can do for your sins to be forgiven. There's nothing you can do to receive eternal life. There's nothing you can do to become righteous. It is only by accepting what Jesus has done that all of that will be imparted. But brothers and sisters, for you to have authority, for you to have positions of authority, there are things you must do, because those ones are entrustment. That's why not all of us are in all positions. So sacrifice has a way of giving you clearance in the spirit realm. Those clearances are what we refer to as atonement in this context. If 10 Christians are asking God for a position of authority, God will need some level of clearance to choose who can occupy it. Because he loves all of them equally, but they have to prove themselves that they are most qualified. If you study Revelation chapter 5, from verse 12, let's read that scripture. Let me show you something. There are some things that you must be worthy to receive. Even Jesus had to be worthy, and he did it as a pattern for us. He said, the voice said, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive. There are some things you can't receive until you are worthy. If you study Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's telling you that this thing is a pattern. And he began to show us what Jesus did. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Go to the next verse. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Go to the next verse. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming into the likeness of men. Next verse. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Next verse. He said, Therefore, because of this sacrifice, he said, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. Are you seeing this? So there are things that you qualify for. There are other things that Jesus qualified on your account. Jesus qualified for you to receive eternal life. He qualified for you to receive forgiveness. He qualified for you to receive righteousness. But when it has to do with certain levels of position, he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, so that in due season, he will exalt you. God will not exalt you because Jesus died for your sins. God will exalt you because you humble yourself. So there are certain things that you must qualify for. If you don't humble yourself, you will never be exalted. In fact, if you are proud, the Bible said God abhors the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. So it's not everything that the sacrifice of Jesus will achieve for you. There are some things that your own sacrifice will do for you. And when I begin to show you the dimensions of sacrifice, I will show you that obedience is a sacrifice. I will show you that prayer is a sacrifice. I will show you that giving is a sacrifice. Because sacrifice is not just an offering. It also has to do with many things that you deny yourself so that you can have others. I will show you that dying to self is a sacrifice. There are some things that if you are full of self, God can't give you. Although Jesus died for you, but your flesh will stop you from having it. Sacrifice. The power of sacrifice is that it is a tool of atonement. It qualifies you. It ranks you in the realm of God. If God comes into this service, he will not rank all of us because we are born again. He will rank all of us even by the date that we receive salvation. Somebody may receive salvation in 1991. Another one may receive salvation in 2021. You'll be shocked that the one in 2021 will be more ranking than the one who gave his life to Christ in 1991. Because the 91 candidate is still in primary one. God can't trust him. Give him money, he doesn't go to kingdom. Give him an assignment and a responsibility, he will never do it. They say, let's go for evangelism, he can never make the sacrifice. Oh, let's come for vigil and intercede for the nation, he can never come. But somebody gave his heart to Christ 2 years ago. He has won 1,000 souls. He has attended every vigil, interceding for nations. You think God wants to give promotion? He will now come and say, brother, wait, this one gave his heart to Christ 20 years ago. No way. Kingdom agenda demands that only those who are responsible can be entrusted with power. So there is a clearance level that is only sacrifice that can give to you. The third power of sacrifice is that it opens the door to blessings. There are certain blessings that cannot be given to you until you do certain sacrifices. You know why? Because such blessings are an entrustment. It's like the commonwealth of Israel. God can give you enough to eat, to wear, and where to lay your head. But when God wants to empower Christians in Abuja, if God wants to empower Christians in Nigeria, if God wants to empower Christians in Africa, he won't give it to all who are born again. He will give it to those whom, if the money or the authority gets into their hand, Christians will truly benefit. And the way such people will prove that they are the ones is through the instrumentality of sacrifice. This is why sacrifice opens doors to certain blessings. Because those blessings are not a product of God's benevolence. They are actually an entrustment. Because that person has become a divine trust. The same way you have UNICEF is a trust. The money does not necessarily belong to them anymore. They keep it in custody for those who will need it. Anybody can put $1 million with UNICEF and say, go and spend it. He knows that the money will be spent for orphans. It will be spent in places where there are wars and people are ravaged. If you also come and say, I know where they are fighting war, he will say, oh God, we don't trust you. This money is not a gift. It's an entrustment. That's the type of blessing we are talking about here. And only sacrifices can open it. If you study 1 Kings chapter 3 from verse 4, the Bible said Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offering before the Lord. Immediately God showed up. Ask me whatever you want. People are asking God things, waiting for answer. God is asking others. That one is not for every Israelite. It's for the Israelite who can give 1,000 burnt offering. And please get this. It's not even about the number. It's about the percentage. Because what is 1,000 burnt offering for Solomon can be one cow to another person. And it can be a dove for another person. The thing is, how much can you release from your heart? Solomon released something from his heart. And when God saw him, he said, indeed, this one can be a custodian of the wealth of Israel. So when I bless this man, it's not about him. When I bless this man, it will be about the kingdom. It will be about Israel. Immediately God showed up. What do you want? Ask, I will give you. And true to God's discernment and discretion, Solomon didn't ask for anything personal. Because the sacrifice is the revelation of a heart posture. He said, you have given me a great people. I lack wisdom to lead them. He said, give me wisdom and understanding so that I'll be able to lead your people. And God said, you got it right. I'm not surprised after all. A man who can give 1,000 burnt offering is not thinking about himself. That kind of person is thinking about something bigger than himself. And he said, because you did not ask for riches, you did not ask for wealth, you did not ask for the life of your enemies. He said, in addition to what you have asked for. See, somebody will hear from God this season. In addition to what you have asked for, he said, I will give you. Oh my God. No wonder the guy became the wisest man until Jesus came. No wonder he became the wealthiest man. Kings of other nations came to give him gifts just to observe the things happening around. And when they come, they say half of the story is not told. Greater than we heard is what is going on here. Sacrifice. 1,000 burnt offering. Do you know what it means to slaughter 1,000 cows and burn everything? Lord, I honor you. Lord, I love you. Lord, you are the king. Wow, you can do this. What do you want? The man proved that his heart was for the people. There are some things you can't give until you are thinking about God. There are some things you can't give until you are thinking about others. Do you know what it means to give 100 million for crusade? Do you know what it means to give 50 million for an agenda that impacts orphans, widows? Your name might not even be mentioned. But before you get to the level of having as much resources, sacrifices must have schooled your heart to depart from the boundary of selfishness and come into the realm of selflessness. If you can migrate from selfishness to selflessness, demonstrated through sacrifice, there are certain blessings your hand will never see. Please hear me. Don't kill yourself praying some prayers if your action is not corresponding. All this receiving prophecy, prophecy upon prophecy, and we are disobedient to the oracles of God is a joke. This year, breakthrough every side. No hard work, no diligent work, no planning, no thinking, no sacrifice. What will that prophecy rest on? He said, I will bless the works of your hands. Where's the work? Where's the thinking? Where's the planning? Where's the sacrifice? So for some of us, prophecies have been hanging over us, but they cannot rest. They can't rest. As you are seated now, there are five companies inside you, but it cannot come alive. Too much selfishness. And so in this conference, God is enlarging our hearts so that we can receive greater things, so that we can walk in greater measures and in greater dimensions. Sacrifice opens you up to blessings. Did you not read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to verse 8? Hear what the Bible says. It says, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Say, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Again, let me draw your attention. Bountifully does not mean 30 million naira. Bountifully refers to how much percentage your heart can give. For somebody hearing me now, 100 naira may be very, very bountiful. It's about the percentage they had. The widow gave 2 mites. Jesus says she gave more than they all. Somebody may give 1 million. Another person gives 200 naira. God is clapping for the person who gave 200. And you are wondering, Lord, what are you doing? Is it that guy who gave 200 has 250 naira? The guy who gave 1 million has 10 billion. The guy who gave 1 million does not even feel it. That's like a paltry sum to him. So bountifully is not volume, it's percentage. Because that's what reflects how much your heart can let go. He said, he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He says, so let each one, not some, all of us. The reason why only few are improving, only few are blessed, is because not each one is doing it. He said, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. Don't give because church has need. Give because your heart is towards God. Not of necessity. He said, for God loves a cheerful giver. If he stopped here, it's good enough. But he didn't stop. He went further. He said, I'm God. You see why we have all things in Christ Jesus, but we don't manifest all things. There are things you do to manifest all things. He said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, will abound in every good work. Does this not look like Jack of all trades that prospers in all? You have what? All grace. You have always, all sufficiency in everything, abounding in everyone. Who is this kind of person? How can a man excel in everything at all times? Because there is all grace. Because this one is not quoting scripture. This one is sacrifice. There is a sacrifice you give that makes God entrust himself to you. These are the kind of blessings that Christians are not yet walking in. We are arguing theology. Jesus rose from the dead so that I don't need to have anything. Oh, Gasa, you have said this thing for 10 years. Where are the proofs? There is such a thing called the vindication of the Spirit. He said, this is the 2 Timothy 3:16, I guess. When he was showing us godliness. Godliness. Help me quickly. No. Okay, check 1 Timothy 3:15. Where's that scripture that talks about the mystery of godliness? It says Christ was manifested in the flesh, justified. See, there is a justification. It's called the vindication of the Spirit. This thing you are talking about, where is the proof? We have to come to a level where everything we say about God, we are able to prove it. We were not sent to talk about God. We were sent to be witnesses unto him. So when you say God is faithful, we agree. You gave your heart to Christ last week. You gave your heart to Christ last month. But sir, you are 10 years in the Lord. This God is faithful that you are talking about. There are some things we need to see. If we are not seeing some things, it means you are doing something wrong. Because there is no vindication of the Spirit. God is able to cause all grace to abound. The only key that makes that happen is the key of sacrifice. That's the power of sacrifice. It opens you up to blessings that cannot be explained, yet cannot be denied. This is not realm of salary. This is not realm of, I had one contract, I broke out another contract. No, this is the realm of open heavens. You operate under a wisdom that your generation can't explain. You operate by a favor that your generation, when I was here the last time, I taught us that there are favors that don't only stop protocols or command the allegiance of men, and not just men, but kings. Esther entered that level of favor, and the king looked at her and said, what do you want? Before she answered, he said, I will give you. Oh God, stop there, sir. Don't talk more. He didn't stop. He said, even if it's half of my kingdom, which king shares his kingdom? Are you okay? But favor became a spell that controlled the thinking and the talking of the king. These are the powers that gives wealth. When God is talking wealth, it's not hard work. Hard work is part of it. But when God is talking wealth, there are principles beyond the natural. Principle of wisdom. You know what others don't know. So you have a value system that they can't explain. But they cannot do without you in a generation. It's a favor that will cause the wealth of Egypt to be transferred to you. The Bible said God gave favor to the Israelites. Exodus 12 verse 26. And he said the wealth of Egypt was transferred to them. These are some of the things that sacrifice brings to us. Empowerment beyond the understanding of the mind. Empowerment. Listen. It's time for Christians to become billionaires. We have too much to do. The time is short. All these donations, I have 200 naira, I have 10,000, I have 20,000. We can't change the world like that. Go and check the world. Billions of dollars power Coca-Cola. Billions of dollars power McDonald's. Billions of dollars power pornography. Billions. Billions. You carry your phone, even on your writing tab, a naked person is showing up. Somebody is dumping $1 billion there every month, every year, casually, so that the minds of people are corrupt. Meanwhile, we have one crusade. A whole church, we donate money. At the end of the day, we have 2.8 million. We are looking for 600,000 to complete it so that we can. We don't need such things. See, we need a generation where one person can come and say, how many crusades did you say you have this year? You say, we have 30 crusades. How much is one? One is 20 million. Take, I've paid for the whole crusade for this year. Let's focus on other things. And it's not a prayer point. That's the level of power that the church needs to enter. When the government needs help, they should say, go to House on the Rock. There are some people there who can borrow you money. So government will take grant from church. And then you are wondering, what's happening? We have entered the wisdom that causes the value that the world needs to be with us. And so wealth gravitates in our direction. When they say, oh, there is a plague somewhere, a natural disaster took place, a church can send 5 billion. Say, give them, do housing project. Tell them Jesus loves you. That's what we are talking about. When that church emerges, when we talk, the world will hear. Because the power is not just miracle working power. The power is also financial power to prove to them that this God we are serving can take care of his children. Did you not read about the early church? The Bible said there was none among them that lacked. Not one person. Because those who had more than enough, they brought it so that even distribution can be made. That's church. That's church. That's church. Financial empowerment through the gateway of sacrifice. We're out of time. I want us to pray. I came with somebody, so I couldn't share much. But you see, this sacrifice we are talking about, there are 5 cadres. The first cadre of sacrifice is worship. To be able to leave everything and bow before God and say, you are my source. You are not giving anything yet. It's yourself. So you come, you say, Lord, I know that these millions didn't come because I'm a strategist. I know that this money didn't come because I know the president. This money came because of you. You gave me wisdom. You gave me favor. Everything we did was by your hand. Look at what the psalmist said. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's a king and a warrior talking. David can easily say, I have many fighters, so I got my wealth from the spoils of war. After all, he fought 66 battles. If you fight 66 battles, you will have enough riches from the spoils of war. But not David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down beside the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He said, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Yea, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, not some days, not some weeks, not some years, all the days of my life. There is a blessing that follows you all the days of your life. Today, when God is helping you, they say it's your season. There's nothing like my season. Every season is my season. It's all the days of my life. Because the path of the just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. My next year will be better than this year. My tomorrow will be better than today. I'm not about to go up and come down. If you are waiting for me to fall, you will wait for a lifetime. We will grow bigger and bigger, better and better, stronger and stronger. And when we are about to go, we will aggregate our encounters and our blessings, and we will compare it on the next generation. It's not about to end. He says, seest thou a man that feared the Lord and delighted greatly in his commandment? He said, even his seed shall be mighty upon the face of the earth. He said, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Treasures. My son will be greater than me. He will be wealthier than me. When I'm going, everything I have, I will aggregate and add to what he has. But worship. Listen. I know you are a Harvard graduate. I know you studied in Oxford. I know you know the president. But you see, every morning, every night, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, when I go up in the morning, I go up because the Lord has blessed me. For the path of the just man is as a shining light. I am a just man, so the Lord causes me to shine. Worship is sacrifice. Many can't do it because it will cost you a lot. It will cost you time. Sometimes it will cost you a relationship. Daniel wanted to worship God. The king said, nobody can worship God here. If you do, we will kill you. And he was not bluffing. See, when the people of the world threaten you, it's not a joke. But you see, the glorious thing is that when they do their worst, that's when we shine. God will not do anything until they throw you to the lion's den. Then they will come back the next day and discover that the lion has no power over you. They will throw you into the fire. While you are in the fire, then the fourth man will appear. And they say, who is the fourth man there? That's when you will come out and say, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my strength. Then the king too will worship your God. Worship. Second sacrifice is obedience. When God commands you, follow. It's hard to follow God. That's why he gives grace. And sometimes it will cost you more to obey God than to give all your wealth. It will be much easier to empty your account sometimes than to obey God in some things. You are part of a committee. They have planned how to share the money. God now tells you, don't take it. And that's not all. Go and tell them it's a sin. Ah, my boss is there. If I say this, the next 2 years, I'll be in trouble. Even my promotion can be suspended. Go and tell them. Then that will become death. That was the kind of obedience that Jesus demonstrated in Gethsemane. Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass me by. He said, yet not my will, but thine. That's sacrifice. The third cadre of sacrifice is to give your resources. And I've spoken about it extensively already. You give. You give. In Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, it said, they that come before the Lord in tears, bearing precious seeds, he said, they shall doubtless. This thing is too sure. It can never fail. They shall doubtless return, bringing in the sheaves. There are certain kinds of givings that is like debt. You have money, and that money is meant for your family's last meal. He said, put it on the altar. Lord, you know that when there's money I give you, this one, if we give it, people may die. He said, put it on the altar. The first time you hit your first contract and you made 10 million, he now said, drop it. You say, hey, wait, Lord, try. We had to make some consultation before this contract came. Wait, Lord, please. He said, put it there. If you carry that kind of seed, it is equal to death. Because when you give it, it looks as if the whole effort was a waste. But you see, such things are sent to heaven as odors. They are smokes. They become memorials in the spirit. That's the kind of thing Cornelius was doing. He said, thy prayers and thy almsgiving have ascended to heaven as a memorial. He stands before God night and day that this one can be trusted. It's a memorial. It's a memorial. It's not because I have so much, but because I love him so much. And so I'm willing to give anything. The fourth cadre of sacrifice is death to flesh. This is the hardest part. Even Satan knows. He says, skin for skin. A man will give anything for his skin. Flesh. That's the hardest place of sacrificing. That a man can tame himself. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, I beat my body. It's a type of sacrifice. There are many things I want to do, but what God wants, it may not be convenient, but I force myself to do it. Sometimes he tells you to wake up 12 midnight and pray. You say, Lord, had a hectic day. What do you mean? Go to the prayer altar, sleep there. But your body must be beating to shape. You must align. Sometimes you come to a place, they are gossiping you, talking about you. He said, don't answer. Ah, I should not answer. If I don't answer, things will go wrong. Say, don't answer. Your tongue will move, you will lock it. If you can't hold it, you will go away. And you will cry. You will cry. You will cry. That tears is because if you said one thing, you would have been justified. But he said, keep quiet. And you will cry. And sometimes God will do nothing until after 5 years. You will wish that you said something. He said, keep quiet. But in that death to flesh, the glory of God, the power will come out of your spirit. The Bible said in 1 Peter 4 verse 1, it said, they that have died to the flesh, they have ceased from sinning. We can't tame ourselves. We are all over the place. And that's why we are men of honor, but we don't manifest it. He said, a man in honor that knoweth not. It's like the beast of the field that perishes. The beast of the field function by their emotions. They can't tame the flesh. You see, one of the things God gave you in Christ Jesus is the law of the spirit of life. And the reason he gave that law is so that you can tame the desires of the flesh. But I tell you, it's like circumcising yourself and being awake. That's why Paul was speaking. He said, I beseech you, dearly beloved, Romans 12 verse 1 and 2, that you what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. They are killing you. They are circumcising you. You are awake without anesthesia. But in the realm of God, it is sacrifice. So sacrifice is not just about money. It's about worship. It's about obedience. It's about death to flesh. And if I may add, it's about prayer. In Revelation chapter 5 verse 8, he said the prayers of the saints are sent to heaven as odors, as incense, and they are stored in golden vials. Every time you raise your voice to pray, it is a memorial. You can talk to a man for 4 hours, but when you talk to a spirit for 1 hour, it will take a lot of enablement. That's why prayer is a huge sacrifice. And I can tell you, that's the last thing Christians do. But you see, in this season of increase, if there's one thing we will not leave out, is the altar of sacrifice. So that everything sacrifice engenders, we will experience it. Somebody wrote and said, this 2024, no grill. No grill. I will not be clapping hands from January to December for other people's testimony. Lord, what you are doing for the brother, you must do for me. What you are doing for the sister, you must do for me. Can we rise up and blast in tongues for 5 minutes? Paka, sete, alele, parakata. Go ahead and make declaration. If you can prophesy, prophesy. If you can pray, pray. If you can tongue, tongue. But by all means, my own sacrifice must be on the altar. And this morning, we are beginning with the sacrifice of prayer. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
You may not have the opportunity to do everything you have heard now, but if your heart is in alignment with it, as far as God is concerned, you have done it already. It begins from the heart before it translates to action. And so every hand lifted here is lifted as a sign of surrender and agreement with the word of the Lord. And so in the name of Jesus, please hear me. Everything we spoke about this morning will become your reality. The power for elevation, in the name of Jesus, receive it now. See, there are certain increases you will never have until you are elevated. Height imparts provision. And so in the name of Jesus the Lord, the power that lifts, it rests upon you now. I told you about the dimension of blessings that cannot be explained. Everyone hearing me now, in this same year, 2024, your blessing will become the talk of the town. The Bible said, God blessed Isaac, and he said he increased and continued to increase until he became exceeding great, and the Philistines envied him. How can one man be so big that a nation is envying him? In the name of Jesus, if he did it for Isaac, he can do it again. By the power of the Holy Ghost, become exceedingly great until your nation will take note. Become exceedingly mighty until your nations take note. In the name of Jesus. And finally, there is such a thing called the power of resurrection. That does not only increase you, it refuses anything in your hand to die. That's where restoration comes from. That's where revitalization comes from. That's where rejuvenation comes from. By the power of the Almighty. That same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Bible said, dwells on our inside. I decree and declare over you, step into the resurrection dimension now. Step into the resurrection dimension now. In the name of Jesus. Sir, in this year, men will begin to see strange dimensions. As the world is coming to an end, more of His Spirit is being poured. And so casually, supernatural things that cannot be explained will keep happening. We were praying yesterday on Instagram. Sir, God was touching laptops that had stopped working. Refrigerators that were not working. Car batteries that were dead were coming back to life. What God wants to do now will affect even inanimate objects. I decree over you, the power of resurrection rests upon you now. For some of you listening to me now, your capacity will so enlarge that your jurisdiction will be like a city. You know what the Bible said? It said you are a city set upon the hill that cannot be healed. That means the least of us should be as big as the city. Do you know what happens in a city? I decree and declare, become that city in the name of Jesus. Some of you, your monthly running cost will be equivalent to the running cost of a city. And your monthly income and yearly turnover will be at the equivalence of a city. Because you are not becoming it figuratively. You are becoming it practically in expression. Become a city in the name of Jesus. And anyone here who is barren, in the name of Jesus, receive the grace to become fruitful. Anyone here stagnated, receive the grace for speed. You will not only outrun your enemies, you will outrun even the kings. The Bible said the hand of God came upon Elijah. He outran the chariots of Ahab. You will become better than the best in your sphere of influence. One of the ways God lifts men is by prophecy and blessings. He said the house kept growing by the prophesying of Isaiah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Iddo. In the name of Jesus, I decree, prosper. Continue prospering until you become a city. Until you become a city. And for some of you, you will become nations. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Before we take our seats, if you are here tonight, this morning, your sacrifices are a waste if you have not accepted the sacrifice of Jesus. That's why I told you, there's nothing you can do to buy salvation. There's nothing you can do to buy eternal life. There's nothing you can do to buy forgiveness. Just in case you are here and you have not made that public confession that Jesus become the Lord of your life and that you receive eternal life, this is another opportunity. Somebody sent me a video yesterday. A young man was celebrating on his birthday. He was dancing on the stage. He wasn't sitting down. He fell there and died. They don't take permission to call you home. You are expected to leave ready. Because going home, it's not a curse, it's a blessing. The Bible says precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of the saint. When we are going home, we are excited. Because this earth is a body. The only people who are afraid of going home are those who don't know where home is. We know where home is. We know. So we are not afraid. We live prepared. The only thing is that we will not go until we fulfill our purpose. And we have lived to a fruitful old age. Are you following that? If you are here this morning and you have not made that confession, Jesus, I surrender completely. Before now, I trusted my intellect. I trusted my family background. But from today, I want to follow you. I want to surrender. Can you lift your right hand where you are? Not calling you forward. We don't have that time. Can you lift your right hand? Is there any such person here? I'm seeing some hands. Lift it. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold. This is the best thing you are doing in your life. Don't be ashamed. Jesus said, if you are not ashamed of me before men, I will not be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. He said, when one soul repents, there is great joy before the presence of my Father. Lift that hand. Lift it upright. Be bold about it. God bless you. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. I'm seeing her. Give the Lord a big hand. Place your left hand on your chest as a sign of surrender. The Bible says if we believe in our hearts, the Lord Jesus, and we confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. That's the key for salvation. What do you believe in your heart? That Jesus is the Son of God. That He died for your sins and that He rose from the dead for your justification. Wherever you are, I'd like you to make that confession. If that's what you are saying this morning that you believe. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is your Son. He died for my sins and on the third day He rose again from the dead. I confess with my mouth that this same Jesus from this day is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I have declared. You said that prayer. Congratulations. Congratulations. You have just stepped into the family of God. Congratulations. I want to pray for you now. The Lord keep you. The Lord preserve you. Cause His face to shine upon you. Lift up His countenance over you. And may the name of the Lord be named over you. None of your steps shall slide. The power of sin is broken. The power of the devil is broken. The influence of the world is broken. Walk in the victory of the resurrection. In Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.